WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now... You are,
and it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. There's football on television. One team is wearing dirt on their jerseys.
I've been sitting here trying to figure that out. I was like, are their jerseys just really dirty, or is that a texture?
It's a texture. It's to represent the desert. It just looks like dirt.
I was like, God, their laundry person is going to have a fit. Because they're all like that.
It would be, and they're not all the same pattern either.
You could have done a really cool, like, desert sunset jersey.
But they put dirt on the jerseys. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WJLive to interact with us live or in the past, because you can pause, rewind, like Blockbuster.
Wait, what happened with Tim and the Chainsaw?
I don't know. What happened with Tim and the Chainsaw? He hasn't said anything.
Is Tim okay?
I don't follow Tim on Twitter at Flames Forums to give you updates. I don't know. Apparently he's been posting about his chainsaw. I don't. He doesn't say anything. And I have to be on Twitter to see it, so. And it's Twitter. X is just a stupid name. Anyway, we got stuff to talk about. It's a Rackapalooza because we get to talk about WrestlePalooza.
Yes, we'll be talking about that in the back of the show.
We will. Oh, he apparently cut his hand with a chainsaw.
Oh, God. Oh, no. I'm so sorry to hear that. He didn't post a picture of it, did he?
I don't know. I'm reading chat. Chat, did he post a picture of him, the chainsaw cutting through his hand? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Did he go to a doctor? I think that's the better question. Or do we need to yell at him to go to a doctor?
I would assume if he cut his hand with a chainsaw, he went to a doctor.
I would hope so.
It's Tim. Who knows?
Tim, go to a doctor.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
What?
Enough about Tim. Tune in a week from Sunday and he'll tell you all about his injuries.
He's infirmed.
So I can't. I'm not Tim's. And wish him a happy birthday in a week. On the 3rd. So,
ding. There you go. Yes, make sure you wish him an extra nice birthday this time. And every time, especially this time.
And because he won't be here Sunday, so we can't do anything for it.
No, we'll have to do something nice for him.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. Anyway, let's get to news presented as always by mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211.
I like that. Why don't you do something nice for him? Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll put it on the list. So, we'll have an intern. Intern will do something nice. That's why we have an intern.
We'll get Brett on that. All right, we're going to jump right into the news.
We all are getting old at this point.
Yeah, we're none of us are spring chickens on this network anymore. I don't even know who the youngest of us is, to be honest. I really don't. I think it might actually be Rock.
I think it's Jobber by a year.
There you go. But none of us are young. None of us are the youngins we used to be. And that's okay.
Anyway, let's stop talking about being old and let's talk about people who are... Moving on.
Moving on, we're going to jump right in.
Because saying old and talking Hall of Fame is just...
Yeah. Oh, happy birthday, Ash. Happy early birthday. Or late birthday, I'm sorry. So yeah, jumping right into news brought to you by our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. We'll talk about this more when we do WrestlePalooza, because happened at WrestlePalooza.
No, let's talk about it here. It's easy to get it out of the way.
It's easy to get it out of the way? Okay, yeah. All right. So... the first inductee of the 2026 WWE Hall of Fame has been announced. It is one Stephanie McMahon. She was in the crowd at WrestlePalooza to take in the sights and sounds of the event. And well, her husband decided to get a little payback on her. Actually, I should say both her husbands decided to get a little payback on her for the surprise that she pulled on Hunter when he was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
No, she didn't know the Hunter one.
Oh, she didn't know the Hunter one?
No.
I thought she was in on it.
No, she was not.
Well, okay. Well, her husbands decided to surprise her then, and it featured The Undertaker, where he came out as the American Badass, motorcycle and all. And the most impressive part of that was the fact that he could get over the wall. I was like, yeah, good for you, Mark. Good for you.
He got to sit on the other side of the crowd for once. He got to be in the crowd.
He was very excited about it. But they sat there together and he told her, he sprung the surprise on her that, congrats, Steph, you're going to be the first one in the 2026 Hall of Fame. And she went in for the Taker hugs. She went in for it, man. She went in for like 4 or 5. They were very cuddly, which I thought was sweet.
She was surprised. You could see the look on her face like, no, 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 no. What are you doing here?
No.
No.
She's like, get away from me.
Get away from me. You don't do the thing. Also, congrats to The Undertaker for shaving his beard and dyeing it black again. Because the last time they showed footage of him when he pulled up at Worlds Collide, it was nice. It was long and gray. So he trimmed that thing up to be on camera for this.
I'm sure he had more advanced warning this time, probably.
Yeah, because he was just working backstage for the other one. But yeah, it's cool. She deserves it. As they talked about, she was one of the defining characters from the Attitude Era. She became a general manager. She was a creative writer. And then she was part of the on-screen authority for years. She's one that I've said one of the top, if not the top, female character of all time, just because of the versatility she's had over the years.
Okay, she is a defining figure, and really that next chapter for the McMahon family in a lot of senses. And she has left an indelible mark on the industry and the company as a whole.
100%.
And she is one of the people responsible, and I know this will be controversial because people don't necessarily like it, but she was one of the ones that was responsible for WWE's
rebranding in terms of their image. When they went from that sort of brash Attitude Era style product to a much more family friendly, socially acceptable type of product, where they began to push for the charity work and they began to do a lot of thing, like a lot of community work and a lot of sponsor work. She was one of the ones that was behind all of that, and she pushed that effort. And it's, I argue that in a lot of ways she helped to move WWE forward, but also save it, because if they had stayed in that sort of mindset or in that sort of presentation, they may not have survived, or they would not be where they are now. And so for that reason alone, it's deserved, just for all of these very smart business decisions that she's helped to make in that company over the years. And also as a character, because when she was introduced as Vince McMahon's blushing virgin daughter, right? Like, you know, she was kind of a side character. And then she took that and she parlayed it into the Stephanie McMahon we know today, daddy's little girl, and just absolutely has run with it for 20 something years. Or not quite 20 years, almost 20 years.
It's more than 20 years.
Is it more than 20 years?
25.
It's like, what, 25 years?
Actually, you guys. Actually, is it 26? Because she came early 99.
Yeah. So like, she's just, to me, it is deserved, and I'm happy to see her go in. I look forward to an excellent speech from her. It should be entertaining.
Yeah.
I like that they had Taker do it. If you don't know why I'm laughing, it's because I always joke that The Undertaker and Stephanie McMahon are secretly married in product, and I always wanted them to do that storyline. Or when the Black Wedding happened, they actually got married, and like, it's the whole thing. But they never did it, which is fine, which is totally fine. But that was always like my secret, like secret storyline hope that they would do that. But it was good to see that. It was good to see her reaction. And, you know, Taker was thrilled, and Taker got to come out and ride around on his bike and the whole deal. So congrats to her. And kind of sticking with The Undertaker for a second, The Undertaker and Alexa Bliss are going to be featured in as operators in the COD mobile game next week.
Yeah. That was random.
I mean, Alexa can kind of understand, maybe not, but like, Taker?
I mean, did you see him with the gun? It was weird and awkward, but again.
But Fortnite.
Yeah, I know. We have him in Fortnite. It's something.
It's still kind of strange.
But if you play COD Mobile, get the game. Get the characters.
Get the game. You can get the skins. Woo! And then last but not least for WWE, Jasmine Nix announced that her contract is expiring and she's not renewing. She cited that what they had offered her was not working for her financially, and that was the motivating factor for her leaving. There's also other opportunities that she's wanting to take on, and sort of sees that she can't in WWE. She was very peaceful with the decision. She wished everybody well. It seems like it's a mutual parting of the ways, and that the door is always open for her to come back. Fatal Attraction, or whatever it's called now, is going to get a little bit smaller.
Yeah, it's Fatal Influence, I think it's called now. It's one of those things. Money talks. If you think you're worth more money and you don't want to get paid what they're paying NXT superstars, then you move on. Because she was being re-signed under an NXT, another NXT deal, which is probably $60,000 to $80,000 a year. That's probably what the going rate is right now. If not,
I was gonna say, I don't think it's quite six.
Yeah, no. She said it wasn't. It's probably 50-60 grand a year to train and be a part of NXT, and then when you move up to the main roster, that's when you get the higher
contract.
Because they're not going to pay PL. If you have, 150 people down at the Performance Center, you can't pay them all six figures. It doesn't make financial sense.
I think it's also scaling depending on what level you're coming in at. I'm sure, like, for the people that are coming in off the indies, people like Julian and Stephanie Vaquer, they're probably coming in at a little bit higher amount.
Oh, yeah, they got...
Because they're not going to have to do as much training.
Yeah, they got more main roster deals than when it would be in NXT. Jordynne Grace got a main roster deal to be down in NXT. But if you're just coming to be a part of the Performance Center and hope to make television go through Evolve and LFG to get to NXT, you're not making a ton of money. And I don't think anyone's surprised that they're not.
I saw some people kind of being like, why are you paying your your developmental talent's so low, like that she can't live off of, you know, or she can't thrive off of what you're paying her. And it's like, well, but if you, this is, and this is where I feel like she was very smart in how she phrased this, that, you know, it just financially, it didn't work for her. And this is very relatable for a lot of people, where it's, why are you going to stay in a job that isn't paying you what you feel you're worth or isn't paying you what you want to be paid when you can go somewhere else and you can potentially make more money and have the life that you want? And that's really what this is about. If she wanted to stay, she would have stayed. But the fact of the matter is when she said there are other opportunities out there that I can take, it's she wants to improve her quality of life. She wants to make more money. And she doesn't see that occurring in WWE, because realistically speaking, Fatal, whatever it's called, it's been down in NXT for the entirety of its run. And it started years ago with Mandy Rose, and it's now carrying forward to today. Like, Mandy Rose is gone. Gigi Dolin is gone. The only one left is JC Jane, yeah, and she's the one running it.
She ran her own group, but it's just basically the same type of group, but,
and it hasn't gone anywhere. And so you can kind of see where the writing on the wall is, and it's, yeah, they offered me another deal, but it's something of, in NXT and WWE in general, you do have a time limit, and you have to either prove that you're worth keeping, which she had because they wanted to re-sign her, but you also need to get out of NXT and get up on the main roster within a specific amount of time, or they will cut you. And granted, that's not necessarily fully in her control. It's, they'll call you up when they think you're ready to be called up and they have a spot for you. But like, if you're just going to sit there and coast and you're going to risk the possibility of being let go, you're going to look at other opportunities and you're going to look for other ways to sort of secure your future. And she's seeing that other places. And I think that's incredibly smart of her. And I've seen some people like going after her for that. And it's like, no, she's looking after number one. She's taking care of herself.
Yeah.
As she should. Like, the biggest thing with this is she got recruited. Like, she explained the whole story. She got recruited and she decided to do this. I don't think this was necessarily a lifelong ambition for her. And so it's, all right, they want to pay me to do this. I'll give this a try. I'll see if this works out. She cited she'd had a lot of injuries. She'd had to have, like, her knees repaired. Or her knees completely redone. She's had all these things happen to her. And so that's kind of like hindered her progress a little bit. And now she's looking at the future and she's like, yeah, no, I'm not in with this. I'm not okay with this. And I can't fault her for that.
You can't really fault her for it.
It's like, it's ultimately a business decision, and talent in wrestling in general should treat it like a business, because it is a business and you are the business. You're selling yourself. You're selling the character. So you have to treat it as a business. And if it's not working, it's time to move on. That's just it. Speaking of moving on, let's talk a little TNA. We have our inductees for the TNA Hall of Fame, and this is both very highly deserved in both cases. We have Mickie James heading into the TNA Hall of Fame, and joining her will be the Beautiful People.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, the Beautiful People, they mentioned it in the video that when they got surprised that they were being inducted, is like, they were the trendsetters for the women's revolution. TNA was the brand that was putting women's wrestling on the map long before WWE did. You had the Beautiful People and Gail Kim and the, like, putting on matches that people were talking about. They were selling TNA and they were performing well in the ring. They did it all. The Beautiful People stood out for a very long time. Mickie James stood out for a very long time in WWE and in TNA. She's a 6-7 time knockout champion, and she's the one who carried the belt back to WWE. These are both well-deserved inductees in a couple weeks at Bound for Glory.
Yeah, so congratulations to them. Very, very, very well-deserved.
Indeed.
Can't wait to see it, personally. But with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, everybody, we are going to be talking about Wrestlepalooza, which was this past Saturday on the ESPNs. So everybody, go get a snack, go get a drink of water, and you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what
they didn't like,
and
what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's our R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad, because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are here to talk all about Wrestlepalooza, which made its debut on ESPN this past Saturday. And this show was not well received.
It was a solid show. Some gave it a C. One person representing ESPN gave it a C. And people are like, oh my God, they gave it a C. Okay, fantastic. And what starts it is you get one wrestler from another company talking it up, and that just gets all the everyone just hyping around it and talking about it and making a fuss of this thing. See, but here's the thing. People were talking about the show. I don't know if anyone was really talking about that other show.
There's another show?
Which they went all out with. Which you would think people would talk about that Beth Phoenix showed up on there, and then people would be talking about it for days, and there really, really wasn't much of a talk. And oh, to spoiler alert, Edge is not coming back to WWE in 2 months.
Keep that hope, though, y'all. Keep that hope. Keep manifesting. I believe in you.
Despite the internet going, hey, you see this video he did aired on Dynamite where he's like, hey, I gotta go take care of my family. People took that and went, he's going to be back to WWE. He's going to be John Cena's final opponent.
Y'all know. That's not how things work.
They ran with that one. And just, it would, though, be better than having him fight Brock Lesnar again, because that was a stinker.
Yeah, before we get into that, though, I kind of want to, like, talk about the C rating.
Okay.
Because I will admit, no, and the reason why I say that is because, Brock's like, I gave you the perfect transition, God damn it. Is because, number one, it was surprising that ESPN, because they were debuting on ESPN, gave them a C. But I don't know if it was just me or if all of us kind of had our expectations built up a little bit about this show and surrounding this show. Because there was like one really highly anticipated match on the show. We're going to talk about it a little bit, which was AJ Lee's first time in the ring in 10 years. But also, like, I think we were all expecting like really big things for this show because we saw what they did for Netflix, right? When they debuted Raw on Netflix and they brought out all the names and they had all these really big matches and it was really spectacular, right? And then for this, it was just kind of like, oops.
Well, going off of that really quick, people didn't like the debut on Netflix because they thought it was over bloated with celebrity appearances and really didn't drive home what WWE was. They tried to be a spectacle with all the celebrities for Netflix, and people rated that a very average show, and the week after was the better show.
The week after was the better wrestling show, but WWE is the spectacle. That's what they're about. That's why people hate them, is because they're more spectacle than wrestling.
Oh yeah, but people had negative reviews of the first show for whatever reason. Even though it was a really good show, they were like, "We had all these celebrities. They showed 17,000 celebrities in the crowd. They hyped up WrestlePalooza as here's why people got the C rating is the C rating because you had people from WWE, from ESPN going, "Hey, we want to turn WrestlePalooza into a new WrestleMania SummerSlam."
Yep.
And you set the bar. When Mark Shapiro went out there and set that bar, you were never going to hit that because you didn't have the atmosphere for it to be. You had a hot crowd in Indy, but you were in an arena. If you had a stadium show as your launch, you would have had a better atmosphere for the grander and spectacle to make WrestlePalooza feel like a SummerSlam WrestleMania. This was a high-end B pay-per-view. Yeah. that had a main event that didn't do anything out of the ordinary, but had a clean finish. It was a short match, supposedly at 17 minutes and something seconds. Short match.
17. Just minuscule, just very quick.
But that was in the review. It was a short match, a short main event. I didn't know 17 minutes is a short main event. But it was an average main event. There wasn't anything that came out of that main event going, hey, that's going to be memorable. But it satisfied the crowd. It got the job done and moved the story along. What didn't help was people coming out the next day or the next 2 days after, like, oh, hey, Cody, supposedly Cody and then Randy were pitching this angle to do, Cody and Drew were pitching this angle about Randy Orton should show up, and then Randy Orton should cost Cody, and then that this was the angle that, like, sources told us this was happening. Could that have been a one creative pitch at one point? Yeah. Was that always the plan? Probably not. But a creative pitch saying this was what was pitched. Great. Wrestlers pitch thousands of things all the time. Doesn't mean it's true. It's just because you were told, hey, so-and-so pitched it, and then you ran with it on the internet. It's like, sometimes just hold up. If you learn, hey, this was a creative pitch, just run that you know the knowledge. You don't have to tell the world for your Patreon. Get people to subscribe.
They need the subscriptions, Rob.
I know. I understand. But just subscribe to this channel. We'll tell you it's all bullshit. Just hit the purple button below the screen.
Ding.
That's so simple. It's September. Do the thing. But you had an average main event. You had a stinker of an opener. What happened was Brock and Cena tried to recreate the magic of the memorable Brock Lesnar kicks John Cena's ass match at SummerSlam 2014.
Something like that, yeah.
They tried to recreate that the magic of that match. And that match was, it didn't work because that matchup was special because that was the first time it happened. And you can't go back you can't go back and recreate the magic of what it was, because Brock is not in the same shape he was. He couldn't hit 17 uh-huh. German suplexes. He picked Cena up multiple times, but you saw how red his face was.
Oh, yeah. He was blown up like a quarter of the way in.
And not even that.
It was only like an 8-minute match. Like, it wasn't even that long. It was like an 8-minute match, almost 9 minutes. And he was like completely blown up by the end.
He was red as can be. You kind of feel bad for him, how red he get. Mm-hmm. But they tried to recreate the magic of something. You had the most anticipated match on the show deliver a good match. But it was mm-hmm. very old school in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You had a tag match between the Usos and the Vision that was just a Raw main event style, a Raw tag match. So did they deserve to see? Yes. So ESPN.com got the internet all abuzz? Because, oh my God, they gave it a C? Yeah. It was deserved because it was an average show with a really good women's title match, a satisfying main event, and a moment seeing AJ Lee back in the ring. I don't know what, when you look at WWE PLEs and what they try to do, they can either go really all out and create these memorable moments, and people were like, that was awesome, or people get mad that they did something. Like, you can't win. For months, people complain about the Bloodline matches, right? Everyone interferes in the main event. So what do? They give you a traditional main event with a clean finish that gets complained about that was a short match. Like, you can't win. Throw 15 interferences to drag the match out 10 more minutes or do a satisfying babyface win main event. We told you last week there was no way the babyface wasn't going to be out, standing out, not on top for the first ESPN show. It wrote itself. I don't know. Where do you want to begin?
Well, since we were going to talk about it, let's talk about Brock versus John, because, yeah, you mentioned it, and that's pretty much it, is that they tried to recreate something that they really didn't have the build or the structure or the story or whatever to do. And that was one of the main problems of this match. And unfortunately, Brock and John open the show, and you just had Brock go out there and essentially annihilate John Cena, which was only made worse by the fact that John Cena did his entrance with a bunch of, like, kids all dressed in Cena gear. Like,
Which was awesome.
Which was so sweet. It's like, oh, look, it's good guy Cena. He's back. And then you just had Brock annihilate him in front of a bunch of children. Like, it was just like, oh, my God, why would you do that? But this... I agree with what I think it was Brent said on Sunday, that, like, this just sucked all the air out of the crowd. This sucked a lot of the excitement out of the event. Cena got a little offense in, but not a lot. And in terms of setting, like, the pace for the show, this was a really poor choice of match to do that with. Like, you had a couple other options that you could have opened the show with, and it would have been a lot better timing in terms of how everybody took the show. Like, I honestly believe that this particular opening match did leave a bad taste in people's mouths, and it lasted throughout the show.
Well, here's the problem.
At least to a specific point.
If you put this at the end, it would have been a really stinker of an ending. So they took it out because they were hyping it as the main event, and then they got moved to the first. If you put it on midway through, you would have just killed the crowd completely.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, no.
Because you could have sandwiched it. You could have sandwiched it.
There was nothing. You could not recover, because if you moved the women's title first and had a really hot start, and then you put this in there, you would have done a disservice for the CM Punk match with AJ Lee. You would have done that disservice because you would have killed the crowd. At least where they put it first, the crowd had at least another hour to recover.
Yeah, but I feel like, I guess I'm questioning why, out of all the ways to tell that story, especially since this was a one-off match, right? Like, they're not going to go back and fight each other again, unless they are.
They're not.
Which, it doesn't seem like that's the case. So this is the last time that John Cena is ever going to fight Brock Lesnar. And I said this last week, Brock is not going to lay down for John. Like,
because they have other plans for Brock.
I understand that. And that's what happened here.
That's what happened here. They've reestablished Brock for the sake of John Cena.
But
it was
to
not
me that's stupid.
I don't disagree with that. It was a terrible decision, but that's what they did.
I know that's what they did, but here's the thing: you could have Brock Lesnar go beat the shit out of literally anybody else on that roster, and it would be fine. It would be completely fine. Like, I don't care. And it's not even that John lost to Brock, or that John lost to Brock. Like, that's fine. I don't care about that. What I care about is the fact that they just had him, they had Brock go out there and basically decimate John Cena in front of everybody as the opening match for this show. And in terms of the John Cena retirement tour at this stage, because we talked about it a lot last week, he only has a handful of appearances left. At this stage, they're literally just booking matches without story because it's we only have so many left for him. Yeah, they don't have the time. They don't have the appearances. So we're just literally just booking the dream matches at this stage and we're just going to run with it. And so, again, it's a very poor choice to do that here because you could have had Brock beat John. You could have had Brock be dominant over John. Like, that's fine because it's Brock. There's a certain level of that that is acceptable. And we're all cool with that. But it's like you could have at least had John look somewhat good in this, and he just didn't. And it's kind of like, especially in terms of the fact that this is Cena's farewell tour, this is the last time we're ever going to see him. It's sort of like, to me, I think puts a little bit of tarnish on it because it feels like it's starting to feel like it's being a little mishandled.
He had a really good match with Cody. He had a really good match with Sammy. He was in a groove, and then you did this match. By the way, Paul Heyman showing up and doing the introduction was fantastic.
Yeah, Paul Heyman was there, by the way. Which they could be back together, and that's okay.
They could be. We'll see. But it's like,
they
put John Cena versus Brock Lesnar on the marquee because it was the thing that sold it for ESPN. It was the thing you could sell to the people, the casuals watching ESPN, and it did because they that was the focus of the promotion. Nothing else on ESPN. It was Brock Cena because they're the two most recognizable names you could put in that position for the launch. They put it on College Game Day. They put it on all the shows. That was the marquee match, and then the bell rung.
Yeah. I don't have any issue necessarily. There are issues there, but they do not stem from the fact that the match was booked. They have everything to do with other things that are associated with Brock and him being back. But in terms of them booking the match with Cena, I completely understand it. Like, I understand the business decision. I understand everything behind this. What I'm not happy about is how the match went, the choices that were made to do it like that, and really how it reflects on John and the retirement tour. Because, like, we had the heel turn. They tried to do the heel turn. It didn't really work. So they tweaked him back and they put him back babyface, and he's been rocking and rolling ever since he's been good guy John again. And like you said, he was in a groove. And then they did this, and they just sort of slammed the brakes on it, where it's like, you just have him get annihilated, and you're like, if you're going to do that to me, that should be the last match. That should be it. That should be the retirement. Where you just have Brock Lesnar come out, beat the high holy shit out of John Cena, leave him laying in the middle of the ring, and that's it. John's like, okay, I don't have it anymore. I'm good. I'm going to walk away, and I'm done. Like, that should be... If you're going to do it like that, that should be the finale. And John has his moment in the sun. He has his goodbye. And that's it.
I think what they learned, they got to the building, set up the match, and they learned Brock can't go. And we got the destruction. Because if this was a 15-minute match, and John Cena had... If they had a 15-minute match where Cena got more babyface offense in and really got the crowd rallying behind him, and he kicked out of some of these moves, instead of taking 6 F5s in a row and not really kicking out, and the beating was booked the way it should have, but there should have been more of a babyface comeback in all of what he was doing.
Yeah,
Brock just beat him. Brock just beat him up. They gave the babyface no hope.
And was really just what sucked all the life out of the crowd, because it's John Cena, right? And we all expect John Cena to get up and Cena up and hit the five moves of doom and, you know, either snatch the victory away or get beaten down again. But we expect that moment from John Cena where he sort of rallies, because that's what he does. And we didn't get that here.
We got
devastation.
We got one rally, and that was it. That was early. If there was 5 more minutes to the match, just go 13 minutes. 14 minutes. And John kicked out and kept kicking out, taking the best that Brock had to offer, the match would have been better. You could have did everything the same way you did with every move Brock hit, but if Brock should have just gone for a pin after every F5, and Cena kicked out. You would have given the crowd hope. And then John hits this miracle AA after like the fourth F5 and crawls on top of Brock. 1, 2, Brock kicks out. And then Brock fires back up and drops him with 2 more F5s or 3 more F5s and just leaves him laying. The match would have been received differently. And it only needed one or two kickouts. All you needed to make this match better. But you gave gave the crowd no hope, and that's what killed it. If you gave the crowd hope that their babyface would do something, would have been better. But Brock smashed, and that was it. That's what made that was the magic from 14. So SummerSlam 2014, babyface had hope.
Yep,
there was no hope.
It didn't help. It didn't help also that at the end of the match they cut to the kids crying in the crowd.
Yeah, but it would have been so much better if their hero had hope, but he had no hope.
But they get to a little girl crying in the crowd, and then she realized she was on TV, and she's like, oh, my God.
Oh shit, I'm on TV.
I'm on TV. But, you know, as compensation for this, since WWE is just booking matches for the sake of booking matches, how do I request the Wyatt Six and Cena? How do I get that? Is there a form I fill out? Is there something that I have to do? Do I have to call Paul personally? Like,
Go get the hashtag trending and get the match.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. I will try to do that because, I mean, at this point, it doesn't matter, right? Like, doing Styles and Cena, now they're doing it.
Go. And I like the report that came out. Oh, yeah, this was always the plan. Even though they said we're not doing the match, this was always the plan. Yeah.
Good saving face. Good job. Good job.
Sure. Whatever makes you sleep better at night.
So just to make sure everybody understands, Brock beat Cena.
If it wasn't clear.
It was painfully obvious. There you go. Up next, the poor bastards had to follow that were the Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker with Heyman. He just got to stay out there. Taking on the Usos, Jay and Jimmy. This is a tag team match and a last minute addition. Was LA Knight as the special guest referee. I'm just going to be really, really honest about this. LA Knight made this match as a referee. Like, he was really entertaining as a referee.
He let Jimmy do whatever he wanted.
Pretty much, yeah. He's like, F you, you're cool, everybody go. But this match was okay. And I went back and rewatched it again on its own without seeing Cena and Lesnar in front of it, because it's like I wasn't really a fan of this the first time, because I think it was just you had that. This was the match that had to go on after Cena. And so you're kind of sitting there and you're like, oh, God. Right. Like, I just had to watch like that. And now I have to watch this. So it's like I went back and watched it with fresh eyes because it's like, OK, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. And it was better than I thought it was initially, just because I had that palate cleanse. This was not the greatest thing I have ever seen. Like, I think there was a little bit of clash in styles here, because you have the Bronze, who are very physical, and then you have the Usos, who can be physical, but they're also a little bit more high flyers. They're faster moving. And so it didn't quite gel in the way that you would expect it to. And I think LA Knight helped in that, like, to sort of gloss over some of that and sort of like help with the shenanigans and that kind of thing. But the mix of styles was still sort of like, I don't know about this.
And we've seen a combination of the match for a while now. Mm-hmm. And that kind of took away from some of it. It should have felt like a bigger deal that the Usos are teaming for the first time in a couple of years. It didn't. It lacked something there.
It didn't feel special.
No, it didn't. It just felt like a match you would see on Raw. And that's kind of the story of it. LA being the referee added a little bit extra to it, but it was just an average tag match.
The one thing that made it colorful was Jay accidentally clipping himself with a chair.
Yeah, thankfully he was okay.
Yeah, thankfully he's okay, but he cut himself really bad with a chair because he like caught it on one of the ring ropes and it ricocheted back or something like that and caught him right on the forehead, and he was a bloody mess. And they were tending to him on the ring apron as the Bronze are celebrating. And he was in the concussion protocol, but he's fine now. He's okay. So that's super good. Happy to hear that. But in the moment, it was really scary. It's like, oh my God, is he all right? Because it was full, like, crimson mask situation going on there.
Yeah. But again, like, average, oh God. Average tag match.
Yeah, very average tag match. Up next is arguably the match that potentially saved the show for a lot of people. Stephanie Vaquer versus Io Sky for the vacant Women's World Championship. Jesus Christ, this was good. This is a match of the year candidate.
Oh, should also mention this... the Vision one. We should just...
Oh, yeah. The bronze one. Sorry. I just want to talk about Stephanie Vaquer and Io Sky. I'm sorry. It was just... It was so good. Holy shit, it was so good.
It was really good. It was match of the night. I don't know if it's match of the year, because there's been really good matches before this one.
I said it's a candidate. I didn't say the winner.
No, I know. It is a candidate. They went out with a point to prove. They were crowning a new women's world champion, and they knew they had to deliver. Backstory, Stephanie Vaquer was sick for the last few weeks. She got clear like a couple week before the match to wrestle. In this match, because she wrestled on NXT and then wrestled for the PLE. But that's why the build was a little non-existent, because she wasn't available because she got sick with probably whatever the flu strain that was going around was. They tore the house down. But again, it's Stephanie and Io. They work some technical stuff into it. They work high-flying stuff into it. They just delivered a hell of a match, and they with a point to prove. And Stephanie became your new Women's World Champion.
Rightfully deserved. Right choice. Again, no offense to Io at all. She would have been a wonderful champion, but it made me really happy that they saw the opportunity and they took it, and they crowned Stephanie as the champion. Yeah. She got a huge reaction for it, and I loved in the aftermath that you had the show of respect between Stephanie and Io, where they were shaking hands and they were bowing to each other and they were hugging each other and they were, you know, congratulating each other and that kind of thing. Like, that was a really nice, sweet moment, because this is Stephanie's first main women's title, in WWE. And so it's a huge win for her, because she's sort of had a whirlwind year since she's shown up in WWE and kind of her journey to get to this moment. So it's a big win for her. It's a huge moment. She got to celebrate in the ring, and her dad was there, which was so sweet. She went and celebrated with him, and he held up the title, and everybody was super happy. Like, it was just that really warm, feel-good moment that everybody, I think, needed. And it really did help to bring the crowd back up.
Oh, yeah.
So, congratulations to Stephanie. Long may she reign as champion. And then we get to the match that everybody was waiting for. The one we've all been anticipating. CM Punk and AJ Lee took on Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. The crowd was super hot for this one. We had matching outfits for Seth and Becky. They came in on a lift. We had Punk and AJ, who each had their own entrances. Punk had an AJ Lee's husband jacket, which was phenomenal. They must have listened to our show, clearly, because, you know, we said he needed a shirt, but he got a jacket, which is better. They did a wonderful job with this match, and they teased and edged so hard in this match in terms of bringing AJ in and having a wrestle. Because had Becky.
They booked this as an old school tag team match for the first 15 minutes. But yeah, they did everything you could possibly do to make this one as high as it could to get her the big pop. And they got the big pop. And then she went crazy. She dove through the table, which almost didn't go well. But it did. And I liked immediately AJ Lee or CM Punk rolled right over on top of her. It was like, are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah.
So.
Because the table, I don't think, broke in a way that it was supposed to.
Because she's 70 pounds, so it's not going to break.
She's so tiny.
She's so tiny. It's not going to break.
Because she's so tiny. It's like her and Sasha. I always worry about them because it's like they're so small. It's like, oh, please be careful. Please don't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
But... yeah, and she didn't land. She landed, I think, right on her back and her neck when the table gave. But yeah. Like the slice bread spot that they did, where she like used Seth to go up and hit the move. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the table spot was really nice. But yeah, like there was a lot of trash talk in this that only Seth and Becky can do. And just that you could feel the heat and the animosity between the four. Like there was a lot of really good chemistry in this that I hope that they continue to like do and keep up, because I'm sure they'll go again. It's not going to be right away, but I'm sure at some point they will meet again as a foursome in some way, or AJ and Becky will meet, and obviously Seth and Punk will meet. So hopefully they continue that sort of like, I don't like you mentality, and they keep going. But yeah, like I enjoyed this match. Was it a barn burner? Kind of maybe at the end, because they kicked it up.
But it wasn't meant to be, because AJ Lee hasn't wrestled in 10 years.
Yeah, like I think my only issue with it was it did start off a little slow and they did have to build up to it, but that was fine, like, because the ending made up for it. But I don't think a lot of people were ready for that in terms of how slow it was actually going to start.
But they went 30 minutes.
Yeah. which was really nice. As it should have, right? Like, it needed to go at least 30 minutes.
Yeah, it had to go long. It was the facto main event. And the good guys won. And AJ got Becky to tap out. And I mentioned it on Sunday where it was like the B thing. And it's like, unfortunately, like she actually did tweet it like an hour before we went live. Like, hey, I was tapping out because there was a B on me.
It was so good.
It was.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Black Widow on Seth.
That was good.
That was really good. I liked that tremendously. That was really well done. But yeah, overall, I mean, I like the match. I enjoy the match. I'm perfectly satisfied with her return in the ring. I can't wait to see more, especially since she's on a tear and she's on a run. And we're going to get more of AJ Lee. Like, the fact that this isn't a one-off is really nice.
Yeah.
So, and just to make it clear one more time, Puck and AJ won. Moving on to our main event. Cody Rhodes took on Drew McIntyre for the Undisputed WWE Championship. This was fine.
It was like, it was a solid, like I said, it was a solid, serviceable main event. It was a straight up one-on-one match where everyone went out there, did their part, told their story, and that was it. Nothing, there was no big memorable moment. There was just a babyface beat the bat heel. That's exactly what it turned out to be.
Yeah. I mean, they did some crazy stuff. Like, they did a few crazy spots, went on the outside, messed with the tables.
It wasn't anything out of the ordinary.
No, it wasn't. It was perfectly, like, within balance and acceptable and that kind of thing. It was, you had those two really high middle matches, and you kind of got to Cody and Drew. And it was like, it was fine and it would be good in, I think, any other circumstance. But to me, it sort of just felt like this is a SmackDown main event or this is a Raw main event. This isn't necessarily what I would consider a pay-per-view closing main event, but it was fine and it was entertaining and it was serviceable and it did what it needed to do. But I think if it maybe had a little bit more heat on it, if maybe they had done just a touch more, it would have been a little bit better way to close the show. Because this sort of sealed the deal that the show was just kind of there. It was just kind of average. Like, it wasn't necessarily bad because it had the bright spots, but it wasn't, in terms of the echelons of pay-per-view or PLE, what I would consider an S tier.
No.
It kind of falls in the middle.
So, let's see.
A C. It's a C. Like, that's just it. It's a C.
So, here's the thing. You have Brock and Cena. Brock hasn't worked in 2 years and really didn't work Brock worked a beatdown match. He didn't work a wrestling match. Last time he worked a wrestling match was against Cody, right?
Right.
And those series of matches. And they weren't that bad. You had AJ Lee, who hasn't wrestled in 10 years. And then you had Cody Rhodes in your main event, who hasn't worked a match since SummerSlam. So 6 weeks, 6-7 weeks. And he hasn't been wrestling training in that period of time. He's been acting.
Yeah.
You got the names on the show that you needed on there, but nothing.
But they weren't ready.
You just didn't have the story they could have. They just had. I talked about at the beginning of this segment. They should have. No. Again, supposedly suggested. They should have, could have, would have. No. Because here's the thing, LaMance. Go back and listen to every argument people made about the Bloodline matches with Roman Reigns on top as the WWE champion. Go back to everything, anytime the Bloodline member challenged for the WWE Championship when Solo was in a match, right? All the interference. Mm-hmm. And everyone complained how many times a WWE main event has interference. They do it every week with Raw. Oh my God, I can't believe there's so much interference. This ended in DQ. There's interference. Yada, yada, yada. And now the one time they actually give you what you asked for, you as the internet wrestling fan. Not you specifically. They give you the clean main event. People have a problem with a clean main event. They can't win. You give them what they want, but just look at it from the optics. Clean main event is what everyone asks for. They give it to them, and they complain. You give them interference, they complain. You can't win. That's a problem. They have to re-educate people that a clean main event's good. That's what has to be re-educated. People have to learn you don't need the interference in the pop, because we all have fallen into making that's really, really good. And it really, really is good. But when you give you the clean main event, it's just, it happened. What are we going to do about it? Would I have liked to see Randy Orton interfere in the match? Yeah. I pitched that 6 weeks ago for SummerSlam. It didn't happen. Again, you don't know if they actually pitched it. You don't know how far along it went in the pitch. But there was no interference. Like, a clean main event is interference. There was like no one ran out. It is a clean main event. That's a clean main event. There was no third party. That's a clean main event. Heel tactics, injured at leg. That's clean. That's a traditional heel main event. You got to re-educate the fan. That's where I'm at.
I didn't have a problem with it being clean.
No, I had no problem with it, but people's expectations are, at this point, we need to see all this, but when we get just a solid, you end up with a reviewer going, short match, C.
Yeah, the short match is stupid. Like, unless you consider a longer match, unless you were expecting the main event to be 30 minutes, and maybe that's where that's coming from, is that they expected a 30-minute knockdown drag out, but this match didn't need to be 30 minutes. Like, it was fine at 17. And that's really the key, is that the match was timed out really well. It lacked oomph to me. And that's what I can say about a lot of the matches on this show and on this card, or the majority, is that they kind of lacked oomph. There wasn't, I felt like, as much build or as much story behind some of them. And you could tell which ones had the story, which ones had the meanings, and which ones were just kind of there. And that's really where the problem for me lies, because we went through that period for a long time where WWE was doing that long-term storytelling, and they were moving from feud to feud to feud kind of seamlessly. And you had that continuing ongoing story. And it feels like in a lot of ways it's kind of been interrupted by the Cena farewell tour, because that has taken precedence in a lot of cases, not always. But that's sort of what's been dominating the product right now, because they're sending Cena off. And then when they're not doing that, they're kind of sort of doing stuff in between. And they're also lacking some of the driving characters. Like, I think a lot of us expected for Gunther to show back up. He didn't do it, which is fine. I think the thing that I can say about the show is just a lot of it lacked oomph. You just, at least to me, for three matches on this card, I just wasn't invested in it. And that's the problem, was that I wonder how many other people were not necessarily as invested in this as they should have been, because the build wasn't there.
Because it was an event that was never supposed to be there.
Right. And so I can't fault them too much for that, but I think my worry would be it's that this becomes a pattern for them, and that they kind of stop booking yet, and I hope that's not the case. And that's been my worry with these really tight events, that they don't necessarily have the time to do the longer term builds, where they're doing like 3 weeks between shows.
You lack Cena appearances because Cena's contract is, the dates are out. You had no Cody because this event was put together to launch ESPN. So they had to like scramble to get people on the show. They could have had Roman on the show, but Roman was off filming. Stephanie Vaccaro getting sick didn't help anything either, because that's another match that didn't get the build it needed to, because she missed 2 weeks of television leading up to the match. But you had the one driving match delivered, the mixed tag match. It delivered. Cody was off filming. If Cody was on TV, you would have had a better build. But again, this event, he booked a movie role for a month that there was no event scheduled.
And then they scheduled one.
And then they scheduled one. Because his next appearance would have been at Crown Jewel here in 2 weeks. So that's where we're at.
So hopefully it gets better. Hopefully Crown Jewel is better. They've already started setting up Crown Jewel, where we're going to see Cody versus Seth at Crown Jewel. We'll see what else materializes for that.
Stephanie versus the winner of tomorrow's women's title match. You're going to get the women's tag match on the show. Crown Jewel will have it be fine. And then you have Survivor Series. We're getting into a gap where there's nothing added to the calendar. It's Crown Jewel. It's Survivor Series. Those are your two PLEs left. Then you got Cena's retirement. And then after that, it's Road to Royal Rumble. And then you'll figure it out from there.
Yeah.
The summer was very busy. So that's where we're at.
Putting in another request to WWE, could you not do this again? Could you not like do an event every 2 to 3 weeks? That would be really great. Thanks.
I think we'll be fine. I think next year we get 10 PLEs.
Like, we were in that groove for a while where we didn't have as many pay-per-views we had to talk about, and it was really nice. Like, I was like, okay, all right, we have space. We have to come up with content for the show. It's great. And just like, this show has been nothing but preview review the whole time. It sucks. So, you know, as we go into 2026, can we not have as many events? Okay, thanks. I appreciate. But that's our show.
That is our show.
So you've got some stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday, CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. doing a greater than great debate this week. Tune in. Find out. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Without Tim, because we're talking AEW, we have content prepared. There was no one got injured. There can't be a blame. Right. It's the bit. Monday, it's the Raw Post Show. Whenever Raw ends, we'll talk about it. Like 9:30-ish p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night. 10 p.m. Eastern. Let's talk something. It's a content week. We'll come up with content. At Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, where to get the podcast, to search the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio. Network chat. It is September, so if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. Let's go to Prime Gaming subscription by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock or
Mince M Ward
in the Fortnite Shop or Epic Game Store when you buy Daft Punk. Watch the Batmobile, all the emotes, all the skins. Fortnite Mares is coming, so this will be Halloween stuff. Use code, use it in Genshin, use it in Honkai Star Rail. All the things. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsboard, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linsboard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/Linsboard. And you might still be able to follow me on TikTok. I haven't decided yet, but my account on there is Linsboard0. But it might be going away. We'll have to see. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.